Chapter 9. Trouble for Rudy and Jewel. "Disqualified," I yelled, once I was able to speak. "You're the ones not being fair." "But you had a guide," Roy hollered. "None of us had a guide." I stood in the boat and waved my fish. "You weren't fishing for bonefish. Whenever the millionaires fish for their tournaments, they always have a guide, and they're never disqualified."
"Forget it, Jake," Billy yelled. "Looks like we've got the winner here with this snook."
He motioned to another kid on the pier who was reeling in a good-sized fish.
"Come on," Sharky said, starting up the engine.
I put the fish back in the bucket. It was listless now, and I hoped it wouldn't die.
"We've fished all morning, and now they tell me I'm disqualified?" I sputtered.
As we made our way back through the coves to the other side of the quay, I fumed at Billy and Roy and the others. They were jealous of my bonefish. That's why they banded together to make my fish ineligible.
I released the fish back to the bay and watched it shimmer, circle, and then swim out of sight.
Sharky patted my shoulder and said, "Don't let the kids bother you."
"The kids are green-eyed with envy that I went to Key West with you and that you were my guide."
"Why would they be envious?"
"You're kind of famous, Sharky. They think you might be a pirate and have treasure hidden somewhere."
"Me? A pirate with a treasure?" Sharky laughed. "If I had a treasure, would I be living in that old boxcar? I'd be one of the millionaires instead of working for them."
"But you were a wrecker, weren't you?"
"That's true," Sharky said.
"What kinds of things did you salvage when you were a wrecker then?" I asked.
"I recovered whatever goods were on board, providing they were still salvageable. Things like bales of cotton, sugar, and bolts of cloth, depending on how much water got to them. Many of the ships weren't totally underwater. Some were modern ships stranded on rocks or sinking from storms. We wreckers reclaimed what we could for the insurance companies, but we had to move fast before the material was destroyed by salt water."
Sharky wiped the sweat off his forehead with his sleeve.
"The work was treacherous, not just from the depth of the water or the dangers in the ship itself, but because if we didn't get to the goods quick enough, fish or rice or other things would rot and become poisonous. Some divers have gone blind from the rotting materials."
"So no pirate treasure?" I said, disappointed.
Sharky grinned as he steered the boat toward his place. "I came across some old silver and gold coins on the bottom of the sea a few times. I sold most of them to a jewelry shop owner who made them into necklaces."
Sharky opened his shirt.
At last I was going to get a good look at what hung from the heavy gold chain around his neck. He held out the shining coin.
"This is from a Spanish shipwreck back in the 1600s.
I looked closer and could see a cross and an inscription in a language I guessed to be Spanish.
"Wow, that's really swell, Sharky. Do you think there are more old treasures still out there?"
"Of course there are, but I've stopped looking for them. I do have a few doubloons left, though. Remind me to show you sometime."
We were now pulling into the cove where Sharky lived.
"Well, I'll be danged," Sharky said as we came up to the wharf. "Look at Jewel. She's untied her rope again."
Sure enough, Jewel was standing next to Rudy, who was still hitched up on his run.
"Jewel untied her own knots, but couldn't undo Rudy's, I guess." We both laughed.
"That mule is as smart as any person on this island," Sharky said as we got out of the boat.
I was about to head home when he said, "I suppose you'll be going to church tomorrow morning."
When I nodded, he looked disappointed.
"Well, I can wait until Monday. If you can help me, that is. I want to see about putting up an enclosure for Jewel. And we'll need a whole day to do it. I spoke to Pete Lowry from Tavernier last night. He just took down a fence, and he's bringing the good stuff to me by boat tomorrow. He's not charging me a cent either.
Maybe I can skip church tomorrow."
"Ask your folks. If not, come by Monday and I'll put you to work. Thanks for fishing with me, Sharky."
Sorry you didn't win the contest, he said, but there will be other fishing tournaments you can enter. Real ones. He went over to Jewel and patted her neck. When she nuzzled him, he pulled a berry from the sea grape tree and offered it to her. She sniffed it, then ate it in one gulp. As I went out the dirt path to the road, I was still mad at Roy and Billy, though I tried to convince myself that it didn't matter. Their contest was just kid stuff. As Sharky said, there'd be other real fishing tournaments. When I arrived at Miss Edith's, Mara and Star were on the front porch, stretched out in a hammock that hung from the rafters and was enclosed with mosquito netting. Mara sat up and crept out from the netting, her finger to her lips. Star's asleep, she whispered. Star stirred a little, then put her thumb in her mouth. Did you catch a bonefish? Did you win the contest? Mara asked. I sat on a chair by the hammock and told her about my morning. I'm really mad at Roy and Billy, I said, whacking a mosquito. They changed the rules when they saw that I had bagged a nice bonefish. That's too bad, she said. Aunt Edith is upset today, too. She discovered what happened to Henny Penny. Turns out some animal came and took the poor little thing away. Probably a raccoon, I said. I don't know about that, Miss Edith said, coming onto the porch. The tracks I saw weren't a raccoon's. They were a dog's. She motioned to me to follow her. I followed Miss Edith into the yard and beyond the overhanging sea grape trees. She pointed to the soft, damp earth where the feathers had been scattered. I bent over and immediately recognized the large paw prints I had seen at Sharky's. Those are panther tracks, I told her. Nonsense! We don't have a panther around here. It's a dog, Jake. Whose dog? I asked. I don't know, but I saw that huge mongrel of Sharky's running around with a mule yesterday. It couldn't be Rudy, I said. He's a friendly dog. He wouldn't hurt anything. Miss Edith shook her head. Well, I never had a problem before. We've seen panther tracks over at Sharky's, too. That's what you think you saw, but they were really from that new dog, she insisted. I saw those paw marks before Rudy was even in town, I argued. Besides, these are much bigger than what Rudy would make. I knelt down and looked closely at the prints. There are no signs of claws, Miss Edith. Sharky and I were discussing it just the other day. If it were a dog, there'd be imprints of its nails. A panther is a cat and has retractable claws. There are no panthers this far down in the Keys, Miss Edith argued. I'm sorry, Jake, but I think that dog and mule are going to be troublemakers. If I find another missing chicken, I'm complaining to the authorities. She shoved both hands deep into the pockets of her orange apron and abruptly turned away, firmly ending the discussion. The authorities she spoke of were probably the Audubon Rangers. They showed up frequently looking for bird poachers. Anyone caught trapping or herding birds could get into big trouble. And chickens were birds, weren't they? I knew Miss Edith was upset because she'd lost her favorite hen, but I sure hoped she wouldn't make trouble for Rudy and Jewel.